Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters. It's been a while, but I felt compelled to write because the Israeli embassy attack you may have seen in Cairo over the weekend, that was very well planned. The storming of the Israeli embassy in Cairo was not just planned, it was part of a 60-year campaign of hate, which has permeated all levels of Egyptian society and which the current chaos in Egypt is allowing full rein. On the surface, the attack was a revenge for the killing of several Egyptian security forces mistakenly shot by the Israelis. The IDF was pursuing a terrorist gang which had killed Israelis in the Eilat region last month. A large anti-government demonstration was taking place on Friday in Cairo's Tahrir Square when a group of men broke away and headed for the embassy. They were armed with sledgehammers, hammers, and ropes. They set about the security wall built, say the Egyptian authorities, to protect the residents of the apartment block which houses the embassy. As they battered at the concrete, some attached ropes to cars in an attempt to finish the job they started last month. The army stood by and watched as the wall was breached and the mob entered the building. By this point, Israeli cabinet ministers had been pulled into a government emergency situation room over in Jerusalem. Defence Minister Barak and Prime Minister Netanyahu were among those watching a live feed coming from the embassy security cameras. The embassy staff had been told to stay home, but six Israeli guards were still inside. Netanyahu assured them he would do everything to save them from the mob, which was making its way up towards the 16th floor housing the consulate. Sources say he ordered them not to open fire. At ground level, police cars had been set ablaze. It appeared no help was coming. Israeli officials were phoning their Egyptian counterparts. A source tells me every single possible channel was used to speak to the Egyptians, but some senior officials refused to take the calls. Ehud Barak then phoned his opposite number in Washington, Leon Panetta, and President Obama's Middle East advisor, Dennis Ross. Hillary Clinton then called the Egyptian Foreign Minister, Mohammed Amir. By this time, the mob had reached the 16th floor and was smashing up the consulate and throwing paperwork from the windows. The security guards had retreated upstairs to the embassy proper. As some protesters tried to scale the outside of the building, the guards used fire extinguishers to spray white powder into the faces of the attackers. With just one door separating the guards from the mob, an Egyptian commando unit finally arrived, cleared the consulate, and led the guards to safety. It had been a close call. A source told me, "I have no doubt the staff would have been killed." If that had happened, the troubled relationship between Egypt and Israel might have unravelled. The attack did not come out of the blue, and it was widely supported in Egypt. During the previous assault, protester Ahmed Shahat managed to scale the embassy building, seize the Israeli flag, and throw it to the crowd below, who burnt it. The chant that evening was, "Give us weapons and we'll kill all the Jews." Shahat was feted across Egypt for his actions. Presidential candidate Hamdine Sabahi hailed him as the people's hero, and a local governor, Azazi Ali Azazi, rewarded him with a job and a flat. The teaching of hatred for the other is widespread in Egypt. Schoolbooks are full of historical inaccuracies and Holocaust denial. Portions of the Quran, which deal with the Jews in a hostile way, are promoted. Few politicians can resist the temptation to play to popular appeal, and they routinely engage in virulently hostile comments, not just about Israel, but about Jews. These politicians are not just from the Islamic parties. Some of the brightest and best of Egyptian liberals also use deeply anti-Semitic language. Every Friday, many imams pour forth abuse against Jews without any official sanction. The mass media routinely engages in anti-Semitism. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, a forgery used to justify slaughter for decades, is a bestseller in Egypt. Hitler's Mein Kampf is very popular. The Protocols were serialized as a 24-episode TV series a few years ago, and they were portrayed as fact. In 2002, the number one hit in the Egyptian charts was a song about the Jews masterminding 9/11. Newspapers print deeply offensive cartoons, which are used across the Arab world. If you don't believe this, go to the Foreign Matters blog on the Sky News website. I've attached links to all these things, and some of them will turn your stomach. Some of them are very reminiscent of the Nazis in Hitler's Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Now, these bigots do have their mirror image in some of the wilder fringes of Israeli society. The difference is the views do not appear to be sanctioned at the highest levels, have not permeated the body politic, and are roundly condemned in the Israeli mainstream media. That's the background to Friday night's attack. Unless the authorities work to protect what is left of the relationship between Israel and Egypt, the treaty, which has kept the peace for three decades, may be no more. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.